Okay, there's a Jewish minhag, it's an ancient minhag actually, to learn Pirkei Avos between Pesach and Shavuos, in the weeks between Pesach and Shavuos. This Shabbos is the first parak of Pirkei Avos, and people usually study it after Mincha on Shabbos. So I thought it would be very worthwhile. I was very excited. I figured we'll do Yismach Yisrael on Thursday, but I thought Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, for the last couple of weeks that we have together, we'll learn Pirkei Avos with some of the commentaries. Specifically, Rav Avadim Ibar Tanura. Okay, so on the page in front of you, you have a lot more on the page than just Rav Avadim Ibar Tanura. Just so you understand what you're looking at, this is from the Yachanu Boaz Mishnayis, the big tall Mishnayis with many commentaries. On the page, you can see at the very top of the page, on page one, is a snippet from the Rambam's introduction to the Mishnah, where the Rambam tells us why Pirkei Avos is found where it is in Shas, which is where? Where is Pirkei Avos found in Shas? In the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, where is Pirkei Avos found in Shas? Which Seder is it in? It's in Nezikin. It's in Nezikin. Why is it in Nezikin? Exactly where it is in Nezikin is a little bit of a debate. Seder Nezikin, that starts off Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. Eventually, you get to Pirkei Avos. Why do you think Pirkei Avos is in Seder Nezikin? Yeah, let's hear.
Your actions and your behavior affects other people.
Okay, because the main theme in Meseches Nezikin, which is what the three Bavas were originally called, is that a person has a chrayus for how he interacts with others around him, and that's not only in terms of if I crash into your car, do I have to pay if you slammed on the brakes suddenly? Right? Or a person's carrying a beam in a barrel, the original version of that in Bava Kama. Right? But it's also just in terms of general interactions between people. Okay. Also in Meseder Nezikin, you have Sanhedrin, you have Horios. Sanhedrin is establishing the laws of courts. And Meseches Horios talks about what happens if a Beis Din messes up. Right? So Pirkei Avos teaches us the proper ethics and etiquette of how a person can rule on situations. Again, whether it's a court case or whether it's just dealing with an interpersonal relationship type of situation, and how to admit to one's mistakes, which again, Meseches Horios deals with what happens when the Beis Din Hagadol, when the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim messes up. So again, these are all this is all part of the character development that a Jew who learns Torah needs to have. Okay, so I want to actually focus on reading through the commentary of Rav Avadim Ibar Tanura. Okay, you can see on the page, again, right alongside the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in the middle of the page, in the biggest print, where it says Moshe Kibel Torah. Okay, and then we turn the page. But on the right-hand side of the Mishnah is Rav Avadim Ibar Tanura. And on the left-hand side of the Mishnah, at least on this page, is the Tosfos Yom Tov. Okay, so we're going to focus on the commentary of Rav Avadim Ibar Tanura. Rav Avadim Ibar Tanura lived... Anyone know? 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Now, where did he live? That's true. He lived in Bar Tanura.
He invented wine.
He invented the wine. Yeah, the blue bottle of wine. Yeah? When did he live? When was his commentary? Bar Tanura's commentary became the primary commentary that's studied on the Mishnah. And that's not just for Pirkei Avos, I'm saying in general. If you want a simple, clear, running commentary on all of Shas Mishnayis, Rav Avadim Ibar Tanura is your man. He was born in the year 1440 and passed away in 1516. Okay, so we're reading a commentary from about 500 years ago. Again, we have Rishonim on Pirkei Avos also. I have this volume here, and this volume that I'm actually going to be reading out of. Right, you have Rashi, you have the Rambam, you have Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, Rashi was born in 1040, Rambam was born in 1135, about 100 years later. So Bar Tanura is about 400 years after Rashi. Okay, just to give us a little context of what we're dealing with. Okay, so let's read the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Let's see what we can find. And I'll add some other things to make it exciting along the way. Not that Bar Tanura is not exciting enough. Chas v'shalom.
So why did it end up that he's on the side?
I don't know. That was his magnum opus. He wrote other svarim also. He wrote a Peirush on Rashi on Chumash. He wrote a super commentary on Rashi. He wrote other svarim also. But I guess his running commentary on Mishnayis was so clear and concise that it became sort of the mainstay. Okay, so let's see. Moshe Kibel Torah. I'm just reading the Mishnah in the middle of the page. I'm sorry, I have to do a lot of page turning. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. Umesara li Yoshua, and he passed it on to Yoshua. V'Yoshua li Zakenim. Yoshua passed it on to the Zakenim. Zakenim li Nevi'im. The Zakenim passed it on to the prophets. Nevi'im masru la Anche Knesset HaGadol. Now obviously there's many more gaps in between that. And Zakenim is an extended period of time. Nevi'im is an extended period of time. Eventually it was given to the Anche Knesset HaGadol. We'll see who that is. Heim amru shlosha dvarim, and they said three things. Havu masunim bedin, be diligent. Masun means be patient. Be patient in judgment. V'ha'amidu tamidai, and establish many students. Stand up many students. Asu siyag la Torah, and make a fence around the Torah. Okay? So let's read the Bar Tanura's commentary. First of all, you have to ask the question, why is this the opening mission of Pirkei Avos? Presumably, this should be the opening Mishnah of Shas. In the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, the first Masechet is Masechet Brachos. So you would think if you want to record the lineage, you know, the transmission of the oral tradition, so put that, let that be the first Mishnah in the oral tradition. Put that as the first Mishnah of Brachos. Why is it here? So Bar Tanura has an amazing comment. Take a look. Okay, back on page one. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Does everyone see where we are? Ravadimi Bar Tanura? Yeah? Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Omer Ani. I would like to suggest. Lefi Shemesechta Zu. Mesechta Zu. Eina Miusedis Al Perish Mitzvah Mi Mitzvah Satorah. What pasuk is the pasuk that Pirkei Avos is based upon? Or said differently, all the statements of Pirkei Avos. Shammai says this, and Hillel says that. Nita Harbeli, and Tignos Yishsocho. What's the source? Where's the source for these ideas? What pasuk is it based on? Greet everyone with a smiling face. Shammai. Shammai is teaching. Greet everyone with a smiling face. Where's the source? What pasuk in Chumash says you need to greet everyone with a smiling face? Shammai made these ideas up. These are man-made ideas. These are Torah Misinai values. So says Rav Avinu Bar Tanura, that's exactly the point that this opening Mishnah is trying to make. Since this Masechta is not founded upon a particular mitzvah of the mitzvah Satorah, Kishar Masechta Sheva Mishnah, meaning Masechta Shabbos. If I learn Masechta Shabbos, I can look through the Chumash and I can find 12 different occasions where the Torah speaks about Shabbos. The Chavetz Chaim used to emphasize the Torah speaks about Shabbos a lot because it's really, really important. That's why in 12 separate locations the Torah highlights the mitzvah of Shabbos. So what are these ideas? What's the source for these ideas? Elakula musarim umidos. It's musar. It's midos. It's ethical principles. V'chach me'umas ha'olam gam kein chibrus farim k'mo shubadu milibam b'darche ha'musar. And great sages from the nations of the world also authored books of ethics or etiquette. Moser, Midos, Kamoshu Badu Milibam. Now that's a knock. Badu Milibam means what? That they created in their minds, that they made up. Bidarche Moser, what they felt was ethical. Keitzad Yisna'agad Mukhavera, how a person should act. Right? What are the rules of any society? Hammurabi's code. Ethics, rules. Lefichach Hizchilatana B'Mesechta Zu. So as Torah Jews, says Rav Avinu Bar Tanura, we want to know, as we begin Pirkei Avos, that Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe received the Torah from Sinai. What does that mean? Lo Malach, that is to say, Shehamidos Vahamusarim Shebezu HaMaseches, that the Musar and the Midos that you find in this Masechta, Lo Badu Osam Chachme HaMishnah Milibam, these were not ideas which were created by the Chachme HaMishnah, Ela'af, turn the page. Ela'af, Elu Nemru B'Sinai. These were not man-made ideas. These were also principles from Har Sinai. Okay, you can see Bar Tanura continues on page 2 in the left-hand column. So Chavar, so ask a question. He's saying it's an amazing comment, an awesome way to begin Pirkei Avos. He's saying you shouldn't think of Pirkei Avos just as a collection of nice ideas. Different rabbis who were wise men had a lot of nice ideas. We have to treat this as more than nice ideas. That's what the opening Mishnah is telling us. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. The same Torah that tells you, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the same Torah tells you, Havu Masunim Badin. So what's the question then? It's So why aren't these principles found in the Torah? That's one way to ask the question. What's the other way to ask the question? So why attribute any given teaching to a particular Tana? Right? We'll see that it's going to list pairs of tzaddikim. One was the Nasi, one was the Av Beis, in the top two positions in the Beis Medrash of the Jewish people. So why say Hillel says this and Shammai says that? Why not just say God says? It's doubly ironic because the opening Mishnah doesn't even mention God. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe got the Torah from Sinai. I thought Moshe got the Torah from Hashem. No? You were thinking of that question, Albert, no? Moshe got the Torah from God. Okay? So let's just see Bartanura's answer to that. He says on the top of page 2, miSinai, mimi shenigla beSinai. Okay, so he obviously helps us to understand how to read the Mishnah, in case you weren't sure. Moshe got the Torah from Sinai. You should just know Sinai is not a name of God. Sinai is not the name of the Jewish God. Right? Who's Sinai? Mi Sinai? Mi Shenigla B'Sinai. To the one who revealed himself on Har Sinai, which of course is Hashem. But why does it say Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai? Okay, so there's a lot of things to think about here. Let's go back to Bartanura's first point, because I want to do first things first. Okay, it's a really important opening comment. You should realize that what we're learning are halachos. Okay, I told you I want to learn more halacha in Shir. So now we're learning halacha. Next year we're learning chulin. The eighth parak of chulin. You're going to get smicha next year. Yeredeya. Kolobasar. We're going to learn about milk and meat and lots of other things. Okay, but we're learning halacha right now. That's what the Bartanura wants us to think. These are not nice suggestions of our sages. We have to look at these as Torah-influenced principles. Torah principles. Moshe Kibel Tar Misinai. And part of Torah Misinai, which is one of the 13 principles of faith, according to the Rambam, to believe that God gave us the Torah, is to believe in the Jewish ethics that are not explicitly stated in the Torah. Torah Shebaal Peh. Yeah, what do you want to say? Jordan, you have something to say? You sure? Okay, so these are halachos. These are principles of halacha. Rashi, which you don't have on the page in front of you, Rashi writes on the Mishnah says that the world stands on three things, right? What does the world stand on? No, not yet. What does the world stand on? Not yet. We're not up to that yet. That's the next Mishnah. The first Mishnah, it says, Havu Masuna Badin. Yeah, that's where Rashi has it. You don't have it on the page. Just listen for a second. Right? What did the Anshei Knesset HaGadola in our first Mishnah teach? Be diligent in judgment, be patient in judgment, establish many students, and make offense for the Torah. So Rashi says on the words, have a masuna bedin, again, not on the page in front of you. Rashi says, Lefi shahadin yoshev barumo shal olam, because judging, mishpat, stands at the heights of the world, sharei la'aseres hadibros smachu hakasuv ve'ila ha'mishpatim, that the aseres hadibros in Parshas Yisro are right next to ve'ela ha'mishpatim. What parsha comes after Yisro? Mishpatim. Yeah? Bava Kama. Parshas Mishpatim. All the rules of this one got into a fight with that one, and this one left his pit open, and this one caused the fire. Bava Kama. Arba Avos Nezikin. So says Rashi, the reason that the aseres hadibros are so close to Parshas Mishpatim, all of these interpersonal, again, halachos, is to teach us la'meitcha shehem gufei Torah. That how I interact in terms of damaging, or hopefully not damaging, my fellow Jew, is gufei Torah. It's the essence of the Torah. It's the essential principles of the Torah. I saw that the Or HaChaim writes in Parshas Mishpatim, that's why the first word of Mishpatim is not Eila HaMishpatim, but what? Ve'eila HaMishpatim. Why ve'ela ha'mishpatim? What's that vav coming to do? It's coming to link Parshas Yisro, when God spoke at Har Sinai, to when you got into a little fender bender on the road. Right? That's gufei Torah. That's the essence of Torah. How you're going to respond when you cause damage to a fellow Jew, or how you're going to be so cautious not to cause damage to a fellow Jew, is one of the essential principles of the Torah. Okay, so we're learning real halacha right now. Now, we also know, and it's already brought in the Rishonim, that there's a practice that when we learn Pirkei Avos, We start off with a Mishnah and we end with a Mishnah. Right? What Mishnah is typically, again, it's not a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, but it's a Mishnah that we often recite before we say Pirkei Avos. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelak li'olam haba. Right? Every Jew has a portion in the world to come. Where is that Mishnah from? Every Jew has a portion in the world to come. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelak li'olam haba. Perek Chelak is in Maseches Sanhedrin. It's either the 10th or 11th Perek, depending if you follow the order of the Mishnayos, the order of the Gemara. Okay, and what does it say in that Mishnah? Every Jew has a portion in the world to come. What Mishnah do we recite when we finish learning Pirkei Avos? You'll see, open up an article sitter to Pirkei Avos. You'll see, before every Perek and at the end of every Perek, it has two Mishnayos. The Mishnah before we learn Pirkei Avos is Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelak Li'olam Haba. Every Jew has a portion in the world to come. To think about why that's our introduction to Pirkei Avos. And what Mishnah do we say when we conclude Pirkei Avos? Sound familiar? Yeah, it's a Mishnah Maseches Makos. Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha taught, Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, Hashem wanted to give merit to the Jewish people. Laficha Chir Balehem Torah Mitzvos. Therefore, God gave us Torah and Mitzvos, many Torah principles and many Mitzvos. Why do we say that Mishnah at the end of Pirkei Avos? Why does the person who speaks between Mincha Ma'ariv end with that before they say Kaddish? Does it sound familiar? You go to Shul, right? Someone speaks for a couple minutes between Mincha Ma'ariv, maybe the rabbi, maybe someone else in the Shul. And usually he gives a little vart, a little something, whatever. And then he says, Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah Kaddish Baruch Hu, Lezach Yisrael, Kaddish Derabbanan. Right? And then the mourners say Kaddish Derabbanan. Yeah, why do we do that? Why do we do that? So if you look in the Machzor Vitri, which was a Rishon, the Machzor Vitri says an amazing thing. Machzor Vitri says, why do we have Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha at the end of each Perek of Pirkei Avos? Because we want to end with Divrei Agada. We want to end with an Agadic teaching, which we can then recite Kaddish over. There's a Gemara that says that we recite Kaddish over Divrei Agada. So let's say the rabbi traditionally would learn, I don't know, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch between Mincha Ma'ariv. So he would teach a couple halachos. So then he would say, Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha Omer, an agadic teaching, right? An agadata. Just a nice teaching. Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha taught that God wants to give us a lot of merit, so he gave us a lot of Torah and mitzvos. And then we say Kaddish. So the Machzor Vitri says, so too, when we learn Pirkei Avos, we end with Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha Omer. So that way we can what? That way we can say Kaddish. So I'll ask you. You need a Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha? You need a nice vart at the end of Pirkei Avos? What, as if we've been learning halacha? What's the answer, Chara? So I'd like to suggest that's exactly the point. If you take Pirkei Avos seriously, like Rav Adi Bartanur is saying, that it's halacha, if you view Pirkei Avos not as nice vartlach, but if you learn it as halachic principles, yeah? A person doesn't eat milk and meat together. A person greets people with a smiling face. If you take those equally seriously as God-given principles, so then, yeah, so that's the dafka we're emphasizing. That's a nice vart. But this, what we're learning now is halacha. And that's what Rav Adi Bartanura wants us to believe. Moshe kibel Torah misinai. These are principles that are essential Torah principles. And if you take Pirkei Avos less seriously than any other pasuk in Chumash, right? In a certain sense, you're denying a fundamental of Torah. That's also the reason it's called Maseches Avos. What are Avos and what are Toldos? Anyone remember the beginning of Bava Kamma? Yeah, Arba Avos Nezikin. Primary principles, minor categories, subcategories, Avos and Toldos. Why is this called Maseches Avos? What's it saying? You might have thought that that when Shammai says like Shammai and Hillel says like Hillel, and Rabbi Akiva says what Rabbi Akiva says, and all these Tanaim, everyone says what they say. Yeah? So you might think these are their own toldos. These are derivatives of Torah. But this is not Torah itself. So therefore the Mefarshim explained, no, it's called Maseches Avos for exactly that reason. This is Gufei Torah. This is real Torah. Again, if you want to be a halachic Jew, it's not just about learning Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Brura and Magen Avraham and Taz and Shach and, you know, Taz and Smaz, and you need to learn. You need to learn Pirkei Avos. This is essential principles of Jewish living. Yeah.
A clean. Maybe you could also say the opposite word of why we say Reb Chanan ben Akasha.
What's here?
The Zakas is the Hirbalhem Torah. Like, don't right, think Torah right. is not rooted.
Hirbalhem Torah mitzvahs. This is Torah and mitzvahs. Right. I was thinking that also. Yeah. This is real Torah and mitzvahs. Absolutely. This is real Torah and mitzvahs. Okay. Now, I don't think the Bar Tanur is trying to say that every idea that any Gentile scholar came up with through every meaning. This is not to say that every system of ethics or etiquette that have ever been created by the Ummah Sa'olam are worthless. Many of them are based on Torah values, or many of them align with Torah values. But we also need to be aware of a simple reality that the Germans, who claim to be very moral and ethical people, right, annihilated 6 million Jews. Okay, so we have to understand that it's not always so simple for a person to claim to be a moral person. And that's why, as Jews, we're blessed. Hashem locks us into the Torah. I don't have to figure out on my own what is morally correct. If I believe one of the principles of Jewish faith, which is Torah Misinai, once I accept that, so I go from there. Right? And the Torah will always have a foundation of what is morally correct in every situation. I was reading David Stein's book, one of his books, over Yantav a little bit, Headlines. Anyone familiar with the book? Right? He takes situations, explosive situations, headlines, from the news, and talks about them. What does halacha say about different situations? So when Cheney was ready to shoot down a plane with hundreds of American citizens, right, and he gave the orders to do so on 9/11, the plane that eventually crashed in Pennsylvania, right? So what would Torah say about that? Would Torah allow you to shoot down a plane with innocent civilians if there's a concern that the plane is being used as a terroristic weapon to kill many more civilians? Or you don't have a right to do that? We have a basis for such a thing. We have a Tosefta that talks about what happens if Gentiles surround the city and say, send out one person or we're going to kill everyone. Can I pick one person to send them out in order to save everyone else? What do you say about such a situation? What happens if they specify a specific person that they want? Can I then hand the person over, or do I still have to allow everyone to die? Again, Torah has a lot to say about these things. It's not random. Okay? Or when Sarah Palin was claiming that Obamacare was creating death panels to kind of decide, who's worthy of receiving medical attention? How are we going to allocate funds? Are you picking who's going to live and who's going to die? What does Torah say about that? What does Halacha have to say about that? Or when there's concern that, God forbid, there's a teacher in a school who's being accused of being a pedophile. Yeah, so can you go to the cops? Is that something we have to take care of with rabbinic authorities? There's a prohibition of handing someone over to being moser someone to the government. Does that apply to a democratic government? The Aruch HaShulchan said it doesn't apply to a democracy like America, where there's a fit. It's talking about not handing over someone to a rogue government. Hey, what are the halachos? What does Torah say? So that's what Pirkei Avos is saying. Pirkei Avos opens up with a really strong mission statement that the teachings of our rabbis, whose whole lives are defined by Torah, is itself Torah. This is Avos. This is not Toldos. This is Avos. This is the real stuff. Okay? Okay, what else? So let's answer the question. Moshe kibel Torah misina. Why does it say misina? Why doesn't it say Moshe got the Torah from Hashem? Anyone want to take a stab at that? So I'm always excited to point out that two different worlds came to the same conclusion. The Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi writes the same explanation in his commentary on Pirkei Avos that Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in his parish Ruach Chaim. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was the primary student of the Vilna Gaon, and the Kedushas Levi and the Toldos Yaakov Yosef and the Kashasar Magid, right, all great tzaddikim of Chassidus, say the exact same shot. Why does it say Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai? What's it saying to us? Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Moshe got the Torah, how do you read it? Misinai, how would you translate it? From the fact that he was like Sinai. Why was Moshe selected to be what? The linchpin of Kabbalah Satara. Why was Moshe picked? Of all the people throughout history, why was Moshe selected? What character trait did Moshe have that made him the greatest teacher of Torah of all time? Right? Moshe Kibel Torah, you want to know why? Mi Sinai. From the fact that he was Sinai-like. He was like Sinai. In what way was he like Sinai? The Gemara tells us, and Midrashim tells us as well, that Har Sinai was a small mountain. A small mountain. Right? The Gemara in Sota says that Sinai was selected because of its humility. Whatever that means. Again, whatever that metaphor is trying to say to us. But Moshe was selected also because Moshe is described as what? As being Anav Mikol Adam. Moshe is Anav Ma'od, rather, the Pasuk says. He's Anav Ma'od Mikol Adam. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is the humblest of all. Yeah? He's Anav Ma'od. I saw one of the tzaddikim from the Skolia dynasty. In his commentary on Pirkei Avos, Divrei Baruch. He says that Mi Sinai, what's the gematria of Mi Sinai? Mi Sinai is 170. So he says it's the same gematria as Anav Ma'od. Anav spelled without the Yud. As I think it's spelled in the Torah. Ayin Nun Vav. Ma'od. Anav Ma'od. Okay, it's with a kolo. Anav Ma'od is gematria Mi Sinai. So Moshe got the Torah because he was humble like Har Sinai. Right? I saw further that Moshe is referred to in this Mishnah as Moshe. We never call Moshe Moshe. What do we call him? Moshe Rabbeinu. So the fact that he's called, I saw Rav David Cohen Shlita from Brooklyn, is a sefer on Pirkei Avos called Toldoson Shel Avos. So he writes there, he says, he's called Moshe here, not Moshe Rabbeinu, because we don't want the titles. We're dropping Moshe Rabbeinu's titles. Because that's exactly why he was selected. First name basis, Moshe. So I'll add 2 points to that. First of all, the Maharal's brother, Maharal lived probably close to the same time as the Bar Tanura, a little bit later. The Maharal of Prague had a brother, Rav Chaim. He wrote a sefer called Sefer HaChaim. In the Sefer HaChaim, he points out that it's interesting to note that our great tzaddikim and sages always put their title after their name. We don't call him Rabbeinu Moshe. We call him Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't call him Hanavi Yirmiya. We call him Yirmiyahu Hanavi. The title always comes after the name. Why? Why isn't he Rabbeinu Moshe? Yeah. Because their name, right, coming in front of their title is a way of saying that their title is sort of an afterthought. They earn the title, don't get me wrong. The Nevi'im were Nevi'im. But we always call them, right, Yeshaya Hanavi. We don't call him Hanavi Yeshaya. We don't call him Rabbeinu Moshe, we call him Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a way of saying that their name is more important than their title. So, if you put the two pieces together, you have a very nice vart. Meaning, the Maharal's brother told us 500 years ago that we call him Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is already a humble statement. You understand what I'm saying? Moshe Rabbeinu is already a humble way to refer to Moshe. He's not Rabbeinu Moshe. Here we go one step further. We drop the title completely. We drop the title Rabbeinu, as if to say, this is the Spitz Madrega of humility. He's Anav Ma'od, Gematria, Mi Sinai. And that's exactly, again, what the Kedusha Slavi and the Kashrut Tzur Magid, wow, Mamish, right off the boat. Unbelievable. Shalom, Armando. I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy to see you. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How is Yantar?
Good.
Good, you? You look good. You have a Yantar of glory, you know? It's nice. Baruch Hashem, everything was good. Okay, so Moshe Kibol Torah Misina. Yes, so Moshe, so again, it's a double dose of humility, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, the title itself, is already a humble statement. And to call him Moshe without Rabbeinu, even more so, is humble. Now, I'll say something that I hope doesn't rub anyone the wrong way, but I saw a very funny, maybe, and sharp line from Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski over Yontif, which, now that we're saying this Vart, I cannot say. Okay. Now again, this may not be your worldview, so no one take offense. Okay, I mean no offense to some of the great leadership of our very yeshiva. Okay, but I saw an interesting line from Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski. Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski was a person of tremendous humility and tremendous credentials. Rav Chaim Ozer was the undisputed Gadol Hador in his time, Rabban Shel Yisrael, dealing with the most pressing shilas on planet Earth. Rav Chaim Ozer, tremendously sensitive soul, who hesitated in publishing his magnum opus, the Achiezer, because he felt it was more worthwhile to give the money to poor people. Okay, so we're talking about this was the person who, when the Chafetz Chaim was older than Rav Chaim Ozer, needed to get by 25 years. When the Chafetz Chaim needed to get smicha to prove that he was a rabbi for like some government documentation, yeah, which is hilarious. The Chafetz Chaim like had to prove that he was a rabbi, so he went to Rav Chaim Ozer, who was 25 years his younger, to give him smicha, you know, so that the Chafetz Chaim could get his visa updated or whatever. Okay. So someone once came to Rav Chaim Ozer. I saw this in the Rav Yaakov Galinsky's Sefer V'Higadata on Pesach. So he says that someone once came to Rav Chaim and said, you know, Rav Chaim Ozer, it would be worthwhile for you to get a doctorate. You should be Rabbi Doctor Chaim Ozer. Now, he didn't have time for such things. And it wasn't necessary for him. He wasn't going to like get paid more for having that extra title, you know, on his stationery. So Rav Chaim Ozer apparently said the following. He said, "No, it'd be good for you. You should know people respect you more, right?" He was world, you know, renowned by Jews and Gentiles alike. There was no need. It was a person who was, again, a little bit more of a modern thinker who felt that, you know, it's not enough to just be a rabbi. You have to have the title doctor as well. Go get like a PhD in something. So Rav Chaim Ozer said, "In my experience, the only time that the doctor is found alongside the rabbi is when the rabbi is sick." That's what he said. Have you got it? That the doctor is found alongside the rabbi usually means the rabbi is not doing well. Right? There's something wrong with the rabbi. That's when the doctor shows up alongside the rabbi's bed when the rabbi is sick. So he said, I don't need to be rabbi doctor. Now again, there are a lot of very fine rabbi doctors, so I'm not, God forbid, taking a position on that. Right? But the realization that the titles are not, you could have the most chashuv titles and the fanciest stationery in the world, you could be the head of your law firm, that's not going to make your life meaningful. Moshe Rabbeinu was Rabbeinu. He was Rabbeinu. And he earned that title. Right? The Rambam was a doctor, and I don't know exactly what medical school he went to or, you know, what credentials he had. Again, and it's not something that we hide or deny. But again, first and foremost, he was a Jew. That's the famous teaching of Yonah on the boat. When Yonah was on the boat and they asked him, "Who are you?" Right? Ma malachtecha, what do you do? What's your profession? What's Yonah's response? Ivri Anochi. Yeah? Ivri Anochi, I'm a Jew. I'm a professional Jew. That's my response. First and foremost, who am I? I'm Moshe. That was the name that my parents gave me when I was born. You know?
This is not
Dr. Rabbi. Dr. Rabbi, Rabbi Doctor, okay, whatever. Each person should do their own thing. But the point is, again, the point I'm trying to make is it's an expression of Moshe's humility. It's a double dose of humility if you put the two varts together. Moshe Rabbein was already a humble statement, and then like Rav David Cohn said, that he's just called Moshe here. They dropped the Rabbeinu to even further highlight his humility, and it was that humility that made him the recipient of Torah. Of course, it's kedai to say over the Lubavitcher Rebbe's vart, if Torah is supposed to be an experience that's for the most humble, so why give Torah on a mountain? Give Torah in a valley. Why not give Torah in a deep cavern? Why give Torah on a small mountain? So Lubavitcher Rebbe said that's an important lesson in self-esteem. Humility doesn't have to be a contradiction to knowing that you're, Har Sinai has to be given on a mountain. The Torah has to be given on a mountain. Right? It's Rav Hirsch's Vart that I think I told you once about why certain people are disqualified from serving in the Beis HaMikdash. It seems so not nice that the Torah disqualifies a person with a physical blemish from serving in the Beis HaMikdash. A Kohen who's a Baal Mum can't work in the Beis HaMikdash. That's so not fair. A person was born with a physical handicap. That's why God made them. So what, we're so judgmental that a person with a physical handicap can't work in the Beis HaMikdash? It seems so shallow. So Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, again, a worldly and sensitive person, wrote in his commentary on Chumash, the Torah is trying to also make a statement there. We're concerned about how people are going to look at us. And if you think that's not a Torah principle, you're making a mistake. We do care how people perceive Torah. It's not, we do our thing, we don't care what the world has to say. We do care. We want Torah to be respected by the world. So it's not that we don't respect, God forbid, in any way. We see them as a lesser person. Right? The Jewish people were never the people of the world who killed off people with handicaps. That was never something that we did. There were nations and people who stood behind such principles. Right? The Jewish people have, you know, rallied to support and offer services for children with Down syndrome and for people with physical handicaps. And That's certainly not our tradition. So why do we exclude such a kohen from working in the Beis HaMikdash? So Shem Shabbat Hirsch said, because we're scared that the world is going to say, oh, look, this is what happens. Who serves God? Who works in the upper echelons of the service of God? Right? The people who can't make it in other departments. We want the Kohen Gadol, according to Halacha, had to be strong, had to be rich, had to be smart, had to be tall. Aren't these like shallow requirements for Kohen Gadol? And the answer is no. Because we want someone to look at the Beis HaMikdash and say, whoa, look at that guy. Right? Kohen Gadol was rich. And if he's not rich, it says in Parshas Emor, it says, a Kohen HaGadol Me'echav, the Kohen who is the greatest amongst his brothers, Gadleyu Mishalachav. If he doesn't have money, and he's the best candidate for Kohen Gadol, we make everyone give him money that he becomes the richest Kohen. Because we want people to look at the Beis HaMikdash and say, yeah, they put their most chashuv people in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have anything against a person, God forbid, who's bound to a wheelchair, God forbid. But we're scared that the world is going to look and say, oh, look, they take the broken Jews, the physically broken Jews, that's what they put in their Beis HaMikdash. So Shem Shraval Hirsch says, we need our strongest people. So that's why Torah has to be given on a mountain, but it's a humble mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu was, right? Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he was, but that's not a contradiction to being Anav Ma'od, Mikol Adam. Okay? All right, let's go on. Let's go to the fight there. Okay, let's keep reading in the Bar Tanura. Yeah, we're on page 2 of the handout. Continuing in the commentary of Avadim Bar Tanura on the words Lizakenim. Okay, Moshe Kivul Torah Misinai, give it to Yeshua. Yeshua Lizakenim. Yeah? I'll just share one Rashi. Why was the Torah given to Yeshua? Why initially just give the Torah to Yeshua? And then from there to branch it out to the Zakenim? Why didn't Moshe initially give it to a group of people? Why did Moshe have his one student, Yehoshua, who was his right-hand man? So Rashi, again, not on the page in front of you, but Rashi has a very insightful comment. Rashi says, "Shelo ratzo l'master el l'mi shayamemis atzo min urav ba'al le'achach." Moshe first gave the Torah to Yehoshua because Yehoshua earned it. Yehoshua cared about Torah more than anyone else. And a Jew has to realize that being on the receiving end of Torah is a responsibility, it's a gift, it's something that a person has to earn. It's not a given. We'll see that later in Pirkei Avos. Be diligent about Torah study, it says in Pirkei Avos, because it's not a Yerusha. What do you mean it's not a Yerusha? It's not an inheritance. You know how you get an inheritance? You know how you get an inheritance? Someone who had money, who worked hard for their money, dies and they left you their money. You maybe didn't do anything to earn it. The Torah is not a Yerusha, it says later in Pirkei Avos. It's something that a person has to earn. Rav Gifter distinguished between the word Yerusha and Morasha, right? Torah is called a Morasha, but it's not a Yerusha. What's the difference between a Morasha and a Yerusha? How would you translate the word Morasha? Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha kilas Yaakov. So Rav Gifter, Rav Shechter quotes this in one of his songs. What do you mean it's not a Yerusha? It says, Morasha Kilas Yaakov. So Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal said there's a difference between a Yerusha and a Morasha. Yeah? What's the difference? How would you translate? Yerusha means inheritance. How would you translate the word Morasha? No one here went to Camp Morasha? No? What's Morasha? How is it different than Yerusha? Maybe a good way to translate it is heritage as opposed to inheritance. Heritage. What does it mean it's a heritage? See, a Yerusha, so your great, your great uncle who you had no relationship died and left you $1 million, okay? Your lucky day. He left to all his relatives $1 million. Very wealthy, he left $1 million for everyone, even the relatives who had nothing to do with him. Now you regret that you didn't have more to do with him. Okay, but you got $1 million, that's an inheritance. Does it matter what you do with that inheritance? How you choose to spend it? Again, your parents might say, don't waste the money, but if it's your money, you want to blow the money on sports betting, I guess if that's what you want to do with the money, it's your money. Spend it as you wish. It's a stupid way. Any human being would tell you it's a stupid way to spend the money. But money's money. No one cares really how you spend the money. What happens if he left you, right, a morasha? What if he left you family pictures? What happens if he passed down a Sefer Torah that was passed from one generation to the next generation? And then you decide to sell it. That's not just about money. Why? No, he left me something of value. And all I chose to... What do you mean? That Torah has been in the family for generations. You can't just pawn it off to make some cash. Right? People would be very upset. That's the difference between Yerusha and Morasha. Yerusha is an inheritance. Morasha is a heritage. It's something which is much more personal. It has sentimental value. So Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Morasha Kilas Yaakov means realize that the Torah, right? The Torah is not just a practical way to run a society. Because you could argue, I have a different system of living. I could argue that the democracy and the rules of American law are better than Torah laws. But if you believe it's a Morasha, it's our family, it's a family. Again, what makes Judaism unique amongst the religions of the world? Think about this. We don't think about it enough. We're all related to each other. We're a family. Christianity's not a family. Islam's not a family. The religion of the Jewish people is a family. Right? We're all a family. It started as a family. It didn't start people rallying around values. It started as a family. That's an amazing, unique claim that the Jewish people have in terms of the world religions. It's an amazing thing that defines the Jewish people. Yeah. So Morasha, realize the responsibility to pass Torah from one generation to the next is Morasha. It has sentimental value. Right? So you have to be serious about it. So says Rashi, why did Moshe give the Torah to Yoshua? Why did Yoshua alone, why was he worthy of receiving the Torah? Again, the words of Rashi are that the Torah was Masra Lemisha Yamemis Atzma Min Urav Ba'ale Achachma. The one who killed himself over Torah. Again, that's the Gemara in Brachos. That says, Adam Kiyamas Ba'oel, person should be Memis Atzma, you should kill yourself over Torah. Kill yourself means you should invest all of your life's energy in Torah. And Yoshua was such a person. V'kana Shem Tov Ba'olam. And he acquired a good name for himself in the world. As the Pasuk says about Yoshua, Yoshua ben Nun Nar, Yoshua ben Nun was Nar, he wasn't just a young person, he was a youthful person, an energetic person. Lo Yamish Mitoch HaOhel. He never left the tent. What that means is he was always in the tents of Torah, he was always by Moshe Rabbeinu's side. And he deserved it. He deserved to be the sole recipient of Torah. He deserved a private, you know, tutoring lesson from Moshe Rabbeinu because of his diligence and efforts towards Torah. He was lo yamish mitocha oel. My good friend Neil Bodner once pointed out, lo yamish is gematria Yoshua. He mamish, lo yamish, to find him. Lo yamish, he never left. He never faltered. Lo yamish means he never slipped away. Focus, attention. It's an important thing for us to think about also. You want to be successful in Torah, you have to be invested in it. It's not just enough to show up to shir and be a passive, you know, listener. But a person who's invested in it is going to have a different Kabbalah of Torah. He's going to receive it in a different way. Okay, let's read the Bar Tanura. Says the Bar Tanura l'Zakenim, Yoshua transmitted the Torah to Zakenim, She'arichu yamim achrei Yoshua. The Zakenim who lived many years after Yoshua. And the Bar Tanura is starting to allude to the fact that the line that's being presented in the opening Mishnah of Avos, Moshe to Yoshua to Zakenim to Nevi'im, Tanshek Nesagadola, right? Zakenim means a lot of people. It's a long period. And those Zakenim passed it on to other Zakenim. Until we came to the period of Nevuah. Until we made it to the period of Eli. And of course Shmuel, right, who eventually worked for Eli and became the great Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel HaRamasi, who traveled throughout Klal Yisrael, rebuking people, guiding people. Okay, and eventually, after a period of Zakenim and Nevi'im, it was given to the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Who are the Anshei Knesset HaGadola? Me'yab Zekhayu. Chaver, what are What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Anshei Knesset HaGadola? The Great Assembly. 120 Jews, says Rav Admi Bar Tanura. What are they most famous for? Shmona Esrei. That's right, they were the authors of Shmona Esrei. They were sages and prophets. Name someone on Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Mordechai. Name someone else on Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Okay. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Right, there were prophets. Ezra. There were prophets on Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Let's take a look. He brings a half of a list here for us. Anshei Knesset HaGadola, 120 elders. Zerubbabel, Saraya, Re'elaya, Mordechai Bilshan. Right? Mordechai is sometimes called Mordechai Bilshan. Ezra, we're talking about the end of the Second Temple period. Umiklalam Chagai, Zacharia, Umalachi, Unechemia ben Chachlaya, Vachavrehem. Okay, so we have a lot of people. All right, Nechemia, Chagai, Zacharia, Malachi, these are all books of Tanakh. Vinikru Knesses Hagadola. Why were they called the Knesses Hagadola? The Knesses Hagadola, the Great Assembly. What were so great about them? So you'll say, what do you mean so great about them? It's the greatest. It's the all-star team. 120 of the greatest minds, the greatest hearts, the greatest tzaddikim, the greatest prophets. Lefi shechziru ha'atara liyashna. The Gemara in Yoma says they were called the Great Assembly because they did something great. What did they do that was so great? They restored the crown to its former glory. Atara means a crown. They restored the crown liyashna, the way that it used to be. What did they do? In writing Shmona Esrei, they took a stance on something, a courageous stance on something. You know what they wrote? Shemosha Amar Hakeel Agadol Agibor Vanora. Moshe wrote in the Torah that God is what? Gadol Gibor Nora. Sounds like our Shmona Esrei, no? It is. But if you'll notice, the Psukim of the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim after Moshe Rabbeinu, they started to drop some of God's praises because they questioned if God was worthy of such a praise. That sounds like a scary way to say it, but we'll say it that way. Bo Yirmiya v'Daniel v'lo Amru Gibor v'Nora. Says the Gemara. Yirmiya Navi came, Daniel came along, and they said, let's not call God Gibor and Nora anymore. He's a Keal HaGadol, but Gibor and Nora, we don't feel comfortable saying Gibor and Nora. Why did they stop feeling comfortable saying Gibor and Nora? Because they saw so much Jewish suffering, and they saw so much Chorban, right? Yirmiyah suffered a lot personally, and he saw a lot of suffering. So they said, "Where's the Gibor? Why is God getting beat up by the Umas HaOlam? Nebuchadnezzar is beating up God. So where's the Gibor? We shouldn't walk around. Were they denying that God was Gibor and Nora? I don't know. They didn't feel comfortable saying it anymore. Where's the awesomeness of God? Until the Anshei Knesset Gadola came along, when they wrote Shmona Esrei, what did they write? Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. They put it all back in. They restored the glory of God. How did they explain the fact that the Jews suffered so much? Where was God? You have to realize, every time you daven Shmona Esrei, you're offering a response to Jewish suffering. What's the response? God, where are you? You're so quiet. V'heim echzirum kevetchila. Lefi she'amru, because they said, hein hein gvurosav, hein hein norosav. The fact that we suffer so much and survive is the Gibor and the Norah of Hashem. That's awesome. The fact that we're still here, the fact that we're sitting in Washington Heights in 2019 learning Torah, studying the words of our sages, yeah, from I don't know, close to 1,800 years ago, and learning the words of Rav Avraham Bar Tanura, who wrote his words 500 years ago, and that we still care to keep Torah and mitzvahs, despite having been through pogroms and holocausts and so much more? That is, that's awesome. That shows how awesome God is. That his people is still dictating to the world, you know, the values of the world. That we're still practicing Torah values. So, heinein gvurosav, heinein norosav. Shil malei kein, because if God wasn't awesome, heich uma kazu yechola leskayim bifnei kam umos. How on earth could the Jewish people survive amongst the nations of the world? One little sheep among 70 wolves, to use the mashal of Chazal. 70 nations of the world. Yeah? And one little Klal Yisrael. Chad Gadya, we're still here. It's an amazing thing. Okay? So that's why they're called the Anshei Knesset Gadola. Okay, Chaver, let's finish the Mishnah. Heim Amru Shlosh Advarim, the Anshei Knesset Gadola said three things. Turn to the top of the next page to see the continuation of the commentary. Obviously, Anshei Knesset Gadola did a lot more than three things. So says Bar Tanura, Harbe Dvarm Amru, Elishrosha Dvarm Halalu, Amru Hain, Sheyesh Behem Kiyom HaTorah. They said these are the three principles which will allow Yiddishkeit to survive. Yeah? So let's just think about them. Before we read Bar Tanura, let's think about them ourselves for a second. Kiyom HaTorah. Kiyom, unbelievable. Right? Kiyom HaTorah. Hey, Mamrushalosh Dvar, which are Kiyama Torah, which establish the Torah. which give the Torah, you know, staying power. Again, you're like the greatest group of rabbis ever, and these are their three main things they want us to know. That's like a big deal to think about. So think about it for a second. Havu mesunim b'din, be slow to judge. V'amidu talmidim harbe, and have a lot of students. V'asu siyag l'Torah, make a fence for the Torah. Anyone? Anyone offer a perish? If you want Torah to survive. If you want Torah to survive, if you're on a base din, don't judge quickly. Look what Bartanura writes. Have a mesuna b'din. She'im ba din lefanecha pam ushtayim v'shalosh, lo tomar din zekvar ba lefanai. If you're judging a case, and you've seen this case once, twice, three times, don't be so quick to say, I've seen this case before. Right? Vishanisi, Vishilashti Bo, I've dealt with this already. There's precedent. Elahavu Masunim, be patient, be diligent. Make sure you explore the case. Maybe there's a new angle. Maybe it's not exactly the same situation. Klomar, Mamtidim Kodim Shetifsaku Hadin, be patient before you paskin. Okay, so if you're a posek, that makes sense. If you're a judge, if you're a court judge, that makes sense. What about for regular people? All right, maybe it's also for regular people. It has to be for regular people. All of Pirkei Avos is for everyone. That's a general rule in halacha. Halacha is for everyone. Every halacha in Shulchan Aruch is for everyone. The Tzaddikim of Lubavitch used to point that out in the context of a halacha that you find in Hilchos Tefillah. It says in Hilchos Tefillah that when a person davens, davening is supposed to be an out-of-body experience. Hispashtus hagashmi. So I don't know about you. I've never had an out-of-body experience during davening. I have a couple of Shemona Esrays that I can think of in my life that like made such a mark on my life that I remember them. I can close my eyes and picture myself davening that particular Shemona Esray. Right? But why is there halacha in Shulchan Aruch? Again, I'm not talking about Kisvei Arizal. I'm talking about halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says that davening is an out-of-body experience. So the Tzaddikim of Lubavitch would say, yeah, because that's it's attainable. It's within reach. That's why it's halacha. So that means Pirkei Avos is halacha. Everything in Pirkei Avos is within reach. But maybe it's within reach in a way that, you know, each generation has to understand it in a new way. The same way that halacha evolves. Obviously, I use that word very carefully. But halacha evolves. Right? Halacha evolves. Taking the Bava Kama Mishnah of a beam bumping into a barrel and applying it to an accident on the throughway, right, is an evolution of halacha. I'm not saying it evolves that we change halacha. The way that, you know, some people have evolved halacha in a way that the keepers of halacha would say is not authentic. Again, that's a delicate discussion now for now. Right? But halacha, of course, halacha evolves. One of my students from Heichal HaTorah, Boys High School in Teaneck, I was once learning Pirkei Avos with them. So he had a good suggestion. He said, you know why the first mission in Pirkei Avos is Moshe Kibbol Torah Mi-Sinai? He said a great vart. He said, Moshe Kibbol Torah Mi-Sinai, Musar Yoshua. Yoshua is a Kenim, Zakenim Leviim, Leviim Ashkenaz Gadol. It's trying to give us chizuk. You read Pirkei Avos, and you start to say, like, I can't, this is a lot. You know? If I take this as a halacha book, if I take this as nice suggestions, I can say I'm not there yet. I can excuse myself and say, like, I don't have to greet everyone with a smiling face. I'm just not that kind of guy. You know? We'll leave that for the Rav Goldwichs of the world. It's just not me. I'm not the guy who wakes up with a smile every morning. If it's halacha, though, I have to force myself to do it. The same way any halacha, whether I like it or not, it's halacha. This is Jewish law. Right? But you might feel very overwhelmed by this. So the Mishnah starts off with two points. First of all, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Hava. Every Jew has a portion of the world to come, so relax. You're gonna be fine. And second of all, realize there is a transmission of Torah. Right? Not everyone's gonna be Moshe Rabbeinu. There's gonna be Yoshua's, there's gonna be Zakenim, there's gonna be Leviim, there's gonna be Ashkenaz Gadola. Right? Meaning each person according to their level has to try their best in 2019, Tav Shanayin Test, to live these principles. Yeah? So having Masunim Badin also applies to us. It's halacha. If this is halacha, if Pirkei Avos is halacha, it's not just speaking to judges. You can't say like, oh, I'm going to ignore this. This is not for me. This first principle is talking to you. Be slow to judge. So my roommate left a dish in the sink when the rule was don't leave dishes in the sink. And he did it the second time, and he did it the third time. And I told him, can you please not, you know, leave your this, like, wherever in the apartment? Can you please? And I told him a third time. And now he did it the fourth time. So do I say he's just a jerk and he's not sensitive, he doesn't really care about my feelings? Or maybe, no, maybe he actually decided to change his ways and he had an emergency that morning, and that's why he, like, ran out of the apartment and had to leave something. But he really does care now, and he has changed his ways. No, but come on, I've seen this case before. I've seen this once, I've seen it twice, I've seen it three times. This is what my wife always does. This is what my kid always does. Mirtz Hashem one day when you have wives and children. You know? So be slow. Be patient. Don't be so quick to judge. Okay, what about the second thing Nachi Knesset Gedola said? Ve'amidu talmidim harbe. Again, oh, it's talking to people who are in chinach, rabbeim. Rabbeim should have a lot of students. Teachers should have a lot of pupils. Yeah? Who's this talking to? How is it relevant to us? So, says the Bartanura, La'puke mi Rabban Gamliel. This is coming to negate Rabban Gamliel's Shita. What was Rabban Gamliel's Shita? In Brachos Daf Chav Ches, Kol Talmud She'ein Tocho Kabaro Al Yikanis L'Beis HaMedrash. What did Rabban Gamliel say? If you want to come to learn a yeshiva, you need to be what? Tocho Kabaro. You have to be, your insides, your outsides have to be perfectly aligned. Yeah? If you did any averos over Pesach, don't come back this year. Okay? So Rabbi Sai, I'll make a confession. I did averos over Pesach. And I came back to Shir. You know why? Because we don't pasken like Rabban Gamliel. Again, maybe it's Chizek Dafka. You're learning Pirkei Avos, which is describing like the perfect person, the kindest, nicest, most sensitive Jew in history. Yeah? So Anshek Nesek Gedol said, don't worry. Even if you're not Tocho Kabar, you're allowed to learn. Tocho Kabar. If your insides and your outsides are not perfectly aligned, yeah? You're still allowed to learn Torah. You're still entitled to learn Torah. In a couple of days, it's going to be the Yahrzeit of Rav Shem Klingberg. Rav Shem Klingberg, the Ohel Hashem. He was killed at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, a beautiful tzaddik. He was gunned down by the Nazis. He gave a very passionate speech before he was killed, part of which is recounted here in his writings, which were printed, obviously, after he passed away. Chav Ches Nisan, 1943, was the year that he was killed. Today is what day? What day of Nisan is it? 24th of Nisan. Okay, the 28th of Nisan is his yahrzeit. So he writes here in his Sefer Ohel Hashem, he says that the Tocho Kabaro, right, the reason that's the description of a person who is connected to Hashem through and through, is because look at the words, Tocho Kabaro. Yeah, look at the words, Tocho Kabaro. He brings a lot of Ramazim. Yeah, what's the Tocho of the word Tocho? Tocho means the insides. What's the insides of the word Tocho? Chavav, 26, which is Gematria of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay, now what's the Kibaro of the word Kibaro? What's the outside of the word, which means outside? Chaf and Vav also. Chaf and, you see, Kibaro, Chaf and Vav, is 26, is Yud Kei Vav Kei. So Tocho Kibaro means a person who's connected to Hashem through and through. Yeah? He's fully connected to Hashem. His insides and his outsides are connected to Hashem. So says the Mishnah, say the Anshe Knesset Gedola, we accept all Jews. Anyone wants to learn, come and learn. Right? Rabbi Gamliel was the one who said what? Al yikanes lebeis hamedrash. Yeah? But he was removed from his position. Who took over when he was removed? I'm Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Harei ani kaven shivim shana. That's right. He was a young scholar who grew a beard overnight. Okay? Good. So kamash malon shemalamdim Torah l'chol adam be'ein tzarach livdok achrav. When a Jew comes to learn Torah, as long as you don't know him to be a particular evil person, we accept him to learn. You don't need to do a major background check on a person. Yeah, it's a big musar to create a yeshiva that's open to every type of Jew learning. It's a very powerful lesson. Ubavad shelo yehe yadua me'inyano shemaisa mukukala, the reputation of having corrupted behaviors, usinei shumai, and has a bad reputation. If he's known to be a murderer, or he's known to be a thief, yeah, or he's known to be a heretic, okay, and you know he's coming to corrupt the base medrash, so they don't let him in. Okay? Second explanation, what does it mean, Talmidim Harbe? Ashmeinon, it comes to teach us, Shem Hamid Talmidim Bepacharuso, Ya'amid Talmidim Bezaknuso. If you had, if you've established a lot of Talmidim in your youth, establish Talmidim in old age. I can tell you as a teacher, I'll be honest, I've been teaching Torah for 15 years, professionally, whatever that means. Yeah? I'm saying I've been employed as a teacher for 15 years, a teacher of Torah for 15 years. I can tell you, as a still relatively young person, yeah, there's a feeling you sometimes get as a teacher, and I've had this conversation with others. Please don't take offense to it. There's a certain connection you have with like your first Talmidim. Now, compared to my Talmidim in 10 years from now, you guys, I'll say, the good old days, yeah? The good old days. Tough Shanai and Tess, wow, what a year. Shir was so good that year. What an amazing group of guys, right? But I sometimes feel that I look back and I say like, no, like the prime was like a couple years before you guys. And then I think back to my first students who I taught in 4th and 5th grade in Mariah and Englewood. And when I see some of them, I'm like, you're like my favorite Talmidim ever. Like no one will ever replace you. Right? So there's a certain feeling that like your first student to like your best student. And then like, yeah, the crop gets watered down as time goes on. So says the Mishnah, God forbid. God forbid. No such thing. If you had a lot of Talmidim in your youth, maybe when you were young, you were more energetic. Maybe that's why you thought you know the students were better. Maybe you were a better teacher. Says the Mishnah, you taught people when you're young, teach people when you're old. Right? And Rashi adds, Bartanura doesn't have it here, but Rashi adds half a line. And by the way, Bartanura, coming 400 years after Rashi, is borrowing a lot of Rashi's commentary. You should just realize. A lot of what he's saying is already found in the writings of Yeshonim. But he adds a nice line. He says, you know why you should have a lot of students when you're old age? Rashi says, because you don't know who the best Talmud's going to be. You think, the good old days, kids these days, you know, with their cell phones and their Fortnite and their Games of Thrones and like, you know, they don't like all these things, you know, all these newfangled things. Yeah? All these newfangled things. In the good old days, you know, that's when like kids could really like, yeah, wasting my time teaching Torah today. Says Rashi, you don't know. How do you know? How do you know which of your Talmidim is going to give you more nachas? Who knows? Maybe one of your later Talmidim is going to be your greatest Talmud, your most outstanding, you know, student of Torah, to come through your system of, you know, of teaching. You don't know. So keep planting. That's the pasuk that he quotes. Baboker zera esar echa, pasuk koheles. In the morning, plant your seeds. Ula erev al tanach yadecha. And don't remove your hand in the evening. Yeah?
Does that imply that?
So always keep planting.
Does that imply that you only teach them if they're going to be great later?
No. I don't think so. It means believe in every Jew. Let everyone into the base medrash and keep teaching. Don't grow old. Again, if this is a lesson to every Jew, so it has to be true for each and every one of us. Right? It's true in our relationship with our friends. I spent Bidikas Chametz. I spent the night before Pesach. I sat with an old Talmud, an old student of mine I taught in high school, currently lives with his non-Jewish girlfriend. Yeah, we came to my house. We sat for like an hour and a half. It was great. He showed up at the house. I was in the middle of Bidikas Chametz. And he texted me, I'm here. So I came to the door with my flashlight. I said, I'm looking for chametz. I said, I'm looking for chametz. So he says, Rebbe, you found a big piece. So I said, Chas v'shalom. I said, to you, kula matzah. I said, kula matzah. He's been living with this non-Jewish girl. He lives with her. And I'm married. He lives with her. But I believe in him. And I told the second he left, I said to my wife and my daughter, I said, I'm telling you, I'm going to win. He's going to be Chozer B'tshuva. He's not going to marry her. We sat, we talked, you know. He's thinking about different things. You never give up on a Jew. So I can say, what do you mean? This is one of my lowest guys from my years of teaching high school. Yeah? But I still planting. Still plowing, you know, whatever. Looking forward to reaping the fruits. Yeah, so you never give up on a Jew. You keep planting. And lastly, Asu Siag LaTorah. Says the Bartanura, what does it mean, make a fence around the Torah? Goder. Shelo yavo liga be'isr Torah. Put a fence around the Torah means add safeguards to Torah so that you don't come to violate a principle of Torah. Kigon shnios la'arayos. Yeah? Why can't I kiss my first cousin? She's my cousin. You know? Or why can't, like, you know, I don't know, we're old family friends, so, like, we touch. But you're not related, and you're not married, and you're not allowed to touch. Yeah, but nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Okay? So the Torah says, put safeguards around. Shnios la'arayos. Right? Secondary categories to protect arayos. You're right. Maybe it won't happen with you and that person. Okay? But I promise you, and I know from firsthand knowledge, that affairs happen in the Jewish community. Okay? So let's not facilitate that by being too friendly with other people's wives. Yeah? Let's put safeguards so that we can try to not have that ever happen, because it's a tragedy when it happens. Shnios la'arayos v'shvus l'shabbos. Muksa. Muksa. Don't handle these things on Shabbos lest you come to do it. So don't hold a pen on Shabbos lest you come to write. Right? The lametes malachos, one of them is writing. Kosev. Touching a pen is not one of the lametes malachos. Right. But we add safeguards and we add restrictions, and the derabbanans of Shabbos are there to protect us from what? From violations of Shabbos. And that's Torah based. As the Pasuk says, Mishmartem es mishmarti, protect my protection. What does that mean? Osu mishmaris l'mishmarti. Make a safeguard to the thing that safeguards you. Protect the Torah. Yeah? That's a Pasuk in Torah that seems to tell us the source for making, you know, dinam derabbanan. So can anyone, like, string together the whole Mishnah now? These three, like, different principles. What are the three things? Be patient in judging. Have a lot of students. Yeah? And make a fence around the Torah. So first, I don't know, the first two, I like to think of them almost as a tefillah. As, like, what we're asking to Hashem, you know? Hashem, you're the greatest judge. Right? We'll see later in Pirkei Avos. Al ti dan yechidi she'ein dan yechidi ala echad. The fourth parak. There's only one who judges alone, and that's God. God, you're the greatest judge. So what does it say? Have a masunah bedin. Be patient in judgment. I let you down once, I let you down twice, I let you down three times. Hashem can look at us and say, I know your patterns. I know the averis you're going to do. So we say, Hashem, you're a judge. Be slow. Give us a chance. Be dan lekaf schus. Judge us slowly. Yeah? And have a lot of students. Who's the greatest teacher of Torah? You said Birchas HaTorah this morning. Hamalameid Torah la'amo Yisrael. Hashem is the teacher of Torah, the ultimate teacher of Torah. So Hashem, also, you planted students when you were young, so to speak, in the good old days. You taught Torah to Tanayim, to Amoraim, to the Gaonim, to the Rishonim, to the Achronim. Now you're left with us. No, keep planting. Maybe we'll give you Nachas Ruach also. Hashem, teach us Torah. Give us a chance. Give us a chance to learn Torah. Asu Siyag LeTorah. Put a fence around the Torah. What does that mean? Protect the Torah. Protect the Torah. Is that a, can we say that's a Hashem? Asu Siyag LeTorah is the rabbis. Well, okay, but maybe that's our part. Asu Siyag LeTorah. Make sure you put a fence around the Torah. Chavi, you have to be smart. Asu Siyag LeTorah. Yes, we are going to give people chances. Yes, we're going to welcome anyone into the Beis Medrash. But don't be an idiot when you come to the Beis Medrash. Put up safeguards. Know your own patterns of sins. Like the Mesilas Yesharim says, that every person has to make his own fences. The rabbis came up with certain fences. Don't do this lest you do that. But if you know that you're very prone to do this, so add additional safeguards, add additional fences for yourself to protect yourself so you shouldn't come to violate principles of the Torah. All right, anyways, Chaver, that's the first Mishnah. That's the first Mishnah of Pirkei Avos, with Bartanura and friends. So we should be zocha to mekayim all the words of our sages. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelak b'olam hava. I'll just end with one Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says, in his writings on Pirkei Avos, Chassam Sofer says, why do we start with the Mishnah, Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelak b'olam hava? Yeah. Because we're speaking to a Rasha. Where does a Rasha get his chelak and olam hava from? Where does a Rasha? I'm talking about a halachic Rasha in the sense that he doesn't keep Shabbos, he doesn't keep kosher, he doesn't put on tefillin, he doesn't keep Torah and mitzvos. So where does he get his chelak in olam hava? So maybe he gets it from Pirkei Avos. Because sometimes you can meet a person who doesn't keep Torah and mitzvos. Again, sometimes they're innocent in the sense that they were never taught. But sometimes, you know, Sometimes they don't keep the letter of the law, regular Shulchan Aruch. But when it comes to being a kind person, being an ethical person, Tikkun Olam, they're focused on these things. They're involved in these things. And this is very important, as we're learning here in Pirkei Avos. So the Chassam Sofer says an amazing thing. The Chassam Sofer says, just like you look at this Torah and you say, like, Pirkei Avos, that's not like real Torah. But we learn from the Bar Tanura that it is. So you look at a Rasha, doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't keep kosher, doesn't wear tefillin, never davens, never learns, doesn't check his clothing for shatness, etc., 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 etc. But he's a nice person. Says the Chassam Sofer, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Lam Hava. Pirkei Avos might be his Chelek Lam Hava. He greets people with a smiling face, maybe more so than the guy who finished Shas in the Beis Medrash. So he also has a Chelek. You'll say, oh, Pirkei Avos is not real Torah. Right? The Bar Tanur is teaching us, this is real Torah. So we have some real Torah that looks like not real Torah. So that's exactly, says the Chassam, that's exactly the life of the Rasha. This guy doesn't have real mitzvahs. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And he's going to get a Chelek in Olam Hava. Some sofers malam mitzchus on the Rishon. Again, Rishon in the sense that they don't keep the 613, the classic 613 that you'll find in the Sefer HaChinuch, but he's an ethical person. And he follows a lot of the principles of Pirkei Avos. And that's going to be his chelek to Olam HaBa. Okay? All right. Mirtz Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.